In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. Can you hear it? It sounds a lot like a party, the likes of which I've never heard before, and I've heard some very loud parties. After all, I do live on David Circle, and we do know how to party. But at this party, all the angels of heaven are in attendance, and the celebrating is, well, out of this world. So what's going on? What is it that the angels are seeing? What's worth every heavenly bell ringing and every celestial whistle blowing? Why pull out all the stops and hold nothing back? Well, it's Jesus, the Lord. It's him at the party, and that's exciting. The great King. And who's with him? The Father and the Spirit, for sure. But who else? Not to take anything away from the Father and the Spirit, but the who else is what's got the angels so excited. Bear with me. Along with Jesus are a bunch of bad pennies. At Jesus' side, a heaven full of last, lost, least losers, known failures, certifiable deadbeats, damned sinners. That's who the angels see with Jesus. And apparently, he's diligently sought these underachieving ne'er-do-wells out. He went looking for them. It's not like they snuck into the party on their own. They were so lost they didn't even know that there was a party going on. They were as lost as lost sheep and lost coins. And for some reason, found only in him, he wouldn't give up looking for them until he found them, even if it meant going to the ends of the earth on infant hands and knees to look for them, all the way out into open country, lighting every lamp and sweeping under every bush. And he's found them. Who? Tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors, the traitors of the day, swindling you out of your money. Dare I name them? Must watch the Eighth Commandment, you know. But I'll take my chances. Like whom? Like the Bernie Madoff types, the Bradley Mannings, Benedict Arnold, and Etou Brutus. Tax collectors, traitors, swindlers, and sinners. Sinners. That's Luke's way of saying the likes of Miley Cyrus, Anthony Weiner, and Elliot Spitzer. You can't get any more lost than that. You can't get any more sinner than that. But, and here's why I dared mention those names. I'm numbered among them. And the Lord Jesus has come to such sinners with mercy. He hasn't come to condemn them. He's come to forgive them. He's come to take their sin in his body, become sin for them, in fact, and answer for every last one of them. And that he answered for them means that there's no sin of theirs, no sin of mine, and no sin of yours that he's left out of his suffering and dying on Calvary's cross. Is that the most amazing, bizarre, ludicrous thing you've ever heard? Many think so, and they grumble at it. But these tax collectors and sinners are drawing near to Jesus, clinging to every word. Clinging, because from Jesus' mouth comes the only good news they've ever had. You see, repentant, and by repentant I mean broken, remorseful tax collectors and sinners, they know who they really are. Deep down in their heart of hearts, it's kind of hard for them to deny it. They know the act they've put on to cover up the person underneath all the theater. It's not a place they want to go because it's scary when you're forced by one means or another to reflect on your sad little life being lived out in the midst of clouds and thick darkness. They know. And inside they'll tell you, beneath all the acting like everything's okay, they feel a bit like trash, empty and disgusting, like pigs inside a human body. But this Jesus, these tax collectors and sinners are clinging to his every word because in his word there's a hope they've never seen before, a hope that comes to them from outside of themselves, because inside of themselves there's no hope at all. They've drawn near to hear Jesus because their lives depend on what he's got to say. Their entire salvation depends, they hear Jesus say, not on who they were, and not on what a great job they've done, and not on what awesome improvements they've made to their lives, but on what Jesus has come to do for them. and for you and for me. It's happening right before their very eyes and before our very eyes too. Salvation. The lost are found, just like God in our Old Testament text from Ezekiel said they would be. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. I will feed them with good pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. And right before their very eyes, the tax collectors and sinners saw this happening. And right before your very eyes, too, the Savior is here, Jesus. And he goes after lost sheep and lost coins until he finds them. And in finding them, he saves them. And that means you too. He goes after tax collectors and sinners, the likes of you and me. He won't give up, not on lost sheep, not on bad pennies, not on tax collectors, and not on sinners. And when he finds us, he lifts us up out of the clouds and thick darkness that has enveloped our lives, lays us across his broad shoulders, and with nail-pierced hands, he carries us back home. And that's what heaven's rejoicing over. There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Heaven throws a party. But not everyone's partying. There are some who are terribly ticked off at all of this. The Pharisees and scribes, grumbling rather loudly, criticize Jesus when they see him receiving sinners and eating with them. He may claim to be God or a prophet from God, but if he was, he wouldn't be grubbing around with tax collectors and sinners. No one needs a God with such little self-respect. We need a God. In fact, the world will only respect a God who reigns from heaven above, unmatched in power. A God we can be proud of, and a God who is proud of us. An attractive God, a glamorous God, a God who people see and just want to be around. But a God who crawls around on all fours, desperately looking for bent pennies and lost coins. A God who scours the countryside looking for sheep who have got themselves lost. No one wants a God like that. And so Jesus, no thanks. I'm fine. I'm not really lost, so go on home without me. I'll be just fine without you. And that's about as stupid as it gets. Though Jesus wouldn't call it stupid, he'd call it unrepentance. Stubbornly insisting on trying to eke out a life in the fog of thick darkness, determined at every turn to stay lost, stubbornly insisting that they've got what it takes, they're righteous enough, thank you very much for asking. But if that's what you want, if that's what the Pharisees and the scribes want, then that's what they'll get. That's the way they'll remain, lost forever, because that's the way they really want it. It's not that the Savior didn't come for them too, you know. But here we are. We've been brought safe and sound to the Lord's search and rescue party, found, and that means saved by Jesus. Rejoice with me, Jesus says. I have found my sheep that was lost. I have found my lost coin. And he invites all his friends and neighbors to share in the joy of his finding, that is, in his saving you and me. The angels rejoice in heaven because you're with Jesus. And right here, you really are, because in the Lord's Supper, he really is here. He's come into our world of sin, come into your life of sin too, to be your Savior. Oh, the righteous will condemn you for not being this or that, for not jumping through the hoops of righteousness they deem important. But the only one who is truly righteous has come to be your Savior. He's come in the waters of holy baptism, and in those waters he's washed you clean, put you on his shoulders and is carrying you through the flood, taking you where he goes, carrying you through the valley of the shadow of death with him, even all the way down into death, and raises you up out of death to life again in his resurrection. He comes with his forgiving words of absolution where he applies the work of his cross to your life today. And he says, take, eat, drink. Here's my body, my blood given for you. I forgive you. I've got you. You're hid, safe and sound in me. Nothing, no one will ever pluck you out of my hands. And to that, faith says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.